Welcome to the SDC Daily Podcast. This year, having already looked at Acts and Ephesians, we're focusing on some other New Testament letters. If this podcast encourages you, why not pass on the link?
Hello and welcome to Friday's podcast. Next week, we've got Liam Brennan continuing our journey through 1 Peter. However, today, it's still me, and we are looking at 1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 7. Yesterday, we began to look at how we can live practically as God's people in the world, particularly looking at our relationship to government and the workplace. Well, today, we're going to begin to look at the home and how this works within a marriage. Now, I know not everyone listening to this podcast will be married. Some people are school age, youth, or students, or perhaps you know that God has called you to singleness. We touched on that topic of calling and mentioned singleness on Tuesday. Give that a listen again if you'd like to. Well, today's verses talk about a very specific relationship dynamic. However, if we don't fit the description, we do not need to exclude ourselves. We might just need to work a little bit harder together to see this example, find the principles behind what's being said, and apply them to our own relationships at home. I hope to follow that pattern today. Today's verses are much shorter than previous days, so we'll read it in full now rather than at the end of the reflection. Wives, here goes. It says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behaviour of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewellery or fine clothes. Rather, it should be your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters, if you do what is right, and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect, as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes, when we give a daily reflection, we get the joy of sharing a thought on something that's perhaps one of our favourite parts of the Bible. I don't necessarily feel that way today. I hope you hear this as a refreshingly honest confession, but I think today has some of the hardest words for me with my modern ears and eyes to take in. At first glance, it can be read as a backhanded compliment. It says, wives, remember that your beauty comes from within, from spiritual transformation. That's totally true. There's no pressure to grab the accessories or style your hair to complete your lockdown look. But then the story goes on to say, you play a weaker role in this partnership. Ouch. Perhaps different to me, you see no difficulty in these words at all. The church is, of course, the big family of God, and there is room in the family for all of us to hold different views and still respect one another. That said, I'm convinced that the Bible in its entirety is fairly clear that husbands should not embody superiority in Jesus' church and in their marriages. Let me explain my view. Rather than diving in quickly to a focus verse today, we're going to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. We'll quickly look at where we first see this idea of a man ruling over the woman in the Bible and ask, why is it there in the first place? And then we will ask, how can we apply this to our lives today? So where is this idea of men being the stronger partner introduced in the Bible? Well, right the way back in Genesis 3, verse 16, we read that a man will rule over the woman as a consequence of the fall and of sin. God tells Adam that work will now become hard, tiring, and dangerous. And God also tells Eve that giving birth will become painful and dangerous, and that your husband will now rule over you. Arguably, this is not part of God's ideal and design for us as humans and us as husbands and wives. So what is God's ideal and design for marriage? Well, some people might say that Genesis 1 is about a vertical relationship between human beings and God, with human beings being the weaker partner than God. And Genesis 2 is about a horizontal relationship between man and woman, and that woman is weaker than a man. However, there is so much more than that going on there in the Bible, but also, and also here in the Bible. In Genesis 1, God created humans on the sixth day of creation. The Hebrew word used in Genesis 1 verse 27 when it says, "So God created human beings," is Adam. It does not exclusively mean the man, but it means mankind or the human. It's not until Genesis 2 that we find out God created male and female. So in Genesis 1, when we learn that mankind has been created in the image of God, it means male and female have been created in the image of God. In Genesis 5, we also read that God created human beings and he made them to be like himself. He created them male and female and he blessed them and he called them human. This means that together we bear the image of God on this planet. In fact, in Genesis 1 verse 28, it says men and women are told to rule and have dominion over the earth together. It was never supposed to be that man was the stronger partner, therefore the superior partner. In Genesis 2, we're told how God created male and female. And many people have used the argument that because man was created first, men must be the ones who have authority, or that's what makes them the stronger partner or makes them better. However, if you follow that line of argument, you can see that cows were made before men. So that are we to be subordinate to our cow Molly? I mean, their ice cream is good, but I don't consider cows of greater importance than humankind, not even Molly. In Genesis 2, verse 18, God says that he will make Adam a helper, for it is not good that man should be alone. Many people have used this verse to say that because Eve is Adam's helper, that is the reason why she is weaker to Adam. However, God is called our helper multiple times throughout the Bible. Psalm 55, Psalm 27, Deuteronomy 33, Psalm 118. We're surely not going to suggest that God is weaker than us. Paul, in the book to the Hebrews, says, "We can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" Adam sees Eve as his equal, not as someone who is weaker than him. As we move into Genesis 3, we see that everything begins to change. In fact, everything in the whole of history changes with the fall. The beautiful order that we see in Genesis 1 and 2 gets distorted as a result of both man and woman's sin. If this is a consequence of sin, then should we really be seeking to embody it in Jesus' church? If we do, does it mean that we're holding on to things that Jesus came to undo? It's an important thing to ask the question. This is some of the things that I believe about marriage. Can't share everything within this podcast, but I've tried my best. For some people, this might feel like a conversation that needs to be discussed further. For others, they might not be fazed by it at all. As I said at the beginning of this reflection, the church is big enough for people who hold different opinions on this topic. The next step is to still love each other and work together to see the gospel of Jesus proclaimed and demonstrated. Things like this might not find consensus in our lifetime. They haven't for centuries. But we live as one family with the tension of godly, prayerful, Jesus-loving people believing different things. Before hearing this today, what's your real life experience of this part of life, marriages? Maybe you're married, or looking at the example of other marriages around you, what do you think and feel about this? Let's take note of God speaking to us, and how might we live practically for him today? Let's pray together. Jesus, we love your Bible. They're your very words to us. But sometimes, Lord, the daily bread is tough to chew on. Help us to understand. Help us to live it out. And above all, help us to continue to love each other sacrificially because of Jesus' example and in his name. Amen.
Still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. You will above all else, my purpose remains, the art of losing myself. Shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart and my soul, I give you control. Conceal me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise be. Side out, Lord, my soul cries.